This is the From the Attic podcast with your host, Brian Watson. It's a podcast from an attic.
Right, hello and welcome to my attic. Steve Gould, all round good egg. How are you doing, Steve? Great to see you.
Oh, good. Well, thank you for having me, Brian. Doing really well, thank you.
No, thank you for coming. We were talking before we started recording. I'm working my way through Prog Magazine's list of unsung heroes. So I thought I'm going to have him as well. So we'll crack on because we've met before at Fusion, of which we're going to talk fulsomely, momentarily.
Yeah.
The next physical manifestation of it is probably almost, is it 2 years since you were last due to do one?
Tell me about it. The one last year took 13 months solid planning and to actually cancel it less than a week before just destroyed me, to be honest. And if somebody had told me at that point that we'd have to cancel the one in 2021, I'd have thought, you know, you're out of your mind. But here we are, you know.
It's bonkers, isn't it? But 12th of September, live progressive rock at Stourport Civic Centre again.
That's right.
It's an all-dayer this time, isn't it? It's just a one-dayer.
That's right, yeah. It was originally, I'll be honest with you, Bri, it was originally scheduled for December the 4th when we were in the tiers. And at that time, the only problem was that we were limited to how many people we could have because it was down to tables of six. And so we basically were going to limit it to 60 people, 10 tables of six, which is why we had to ramp the price up, because obviously we're not looking to make any money from this, because the main purpose of this particular day is to promote a new app that we've been working on called Gig Juice.
Oh, I saw that. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. Basically, what happened, there's a bit of a story behind it, if you don't mind me to tell you.
No, crack on, lad.
Yeah. In November 2019, we had Jump. We did Jump at Kidderminster Town Hall with a couple of local bands of support. And it wasn't particularly well attended, and the one thing I was a little annoyed about was Kidderminster Town Hall's publicity and promotion is very lacking, to be honest. And during the gig, I had this lady come up to me and said that she only found out about the gig at the last minute because her son was playing trumpet in one of the support bands. And we were talking to the manager of the town hall, and she agreed, you know, that there was a lot of room for movement, you know, regarding promotion at the town hall. And that was it. You know, the gig came and went, and it must have been a good 6 months later, I just had this total phone call out of the blue, and it was the lady that I spoke to Kidderminster Town Hall. And she said after that gig, she'd got together with a chap that she knows who writes websites and apps and so on. Right. And they basically came up with the concept. They originally were going to call it Gig Goer, but they brought me in because of my experience with organising festivals and events and so on. And so I was more than keen to get involved. But basically what Gig Juice will be is a focal point for bands, venues, promoters, you name it, all coming together under one app. And so from a point of view, if you decided one night that you wanted to go to a gig, you could go on the app and it would tell you all the gigs are in your area.
Well, that's clever.
But obviously it depends very much on the input we get. We're trying to get as many venues and bands to sign up at the moment. It's all free. We're giving people free credits to use as well. But bands can advertise equipment. They can advertise gigs. They can put videos up. They can put song clips. They can put whatever they want. Venues can promote upcoming gigs and so on. And promoters can obviously promote bands. It's going to be a one-stop shop for anybody looking at live music, to be honest. And so what we wanted to do was an official launch for that app. and it was originally scheduled for December the 4th last year while we were in the tiers. But as I say, the only problem we got was we had to limit the numbers. So we then added on a live streaming option for people who couldn't make it or didn't want to, and also to bring in people from around the world, you know, because obviously there's people around the world who dig the bands that we had got on lineup. But obviously it was never meant to be. It got postponed to March the 7th, which was originally the weekend that we were going to have this year's festival, which got cancelled. And then that got cancelled, and now it's been scheduled to September the 12th. And the only difference was we originally had Landmark playing for us, but because of a conflict with another live date, we actually got Red Bazaar featuring Pete Jones to take their place. But other than that, we've got Rain playing their second gig, because they're playing their first one at Prog for Piat next week, next Friday.
That's with John Jowett, isn't it?
That's right, John Jowett, Andy Edwards, yeah. A newcomer called Miron Webb, who was the lead guitarist and vocalist in a local band called Hey Jester. Very, very good musician indeed.
I saw Hey Jester at the festival I went to. They were brilliant.
That's right. Young band, very young band. And I think the reason why Andy wanted to bring him in, because he was a student of Andy's, and he's somewhat of a musical genius, this guy. And so he actually, at the age of 22, he actually teaches guitar. That's how good he is. But if you've heard the album, you'll know his work is absolutely exemplary, to be honest.
Yeah, I bought it at the festival. Didn't you have another remarkable young band on from York? Did you have Emperor Norton?
Emperor Norton, yeah.
They were amazing. I mean, I come from York and I'd never heard of them.
Yeah, yeah. And what I think was really exciting about that was, you know, they were totally blown away by the reception they had and the fact that they sold out of CDs. And I think at that particular time, they were again, the band overall were getting a little despondent, you know, and they were actually contemplating knocking it on the head. So the fact that they did, you know, the one in 2019 and had such an incredible response, you know, I felt really chuffed for the band, you know, and they've gone on and they're now playing, I think, Summer's End.
They went on hiatus, and I've spoken to them and said I'd get them in the attic physically, because they're only down the road.
Yeah.
So that could hopefully come off soon.
Fantastic.
But yeah, so Red Bazaar and Rain, Equinox.
Equinox is it's a bit of an anomaly, that one. It's what a guy called Andy Holt, and he does a one-man Pink Floyd tribute. And wow. I was put onto him by a couple that I know who obviously have been coming to our events called Stan and Andrea. They've seen him at, I think he's local to them, and they've seen him live and saying how brilliant he is. So I just got him booked. He was originally, I'll be honest, he was originally booked for the Saturday night, Bri, at last year's festival. He was going to play the after gig party on the Saturday night at the Hope and Anchor. But obviously that didn't happen. So I thought, as a bit of compensation, we'd have him at the one on September the 12th. We've also got Joe Payne, who many of you will know was originally with the Enid, but he's now forging a very successful solo career. The Emerald Dawn, who again, a lot of attention at the moment. Their latest album, I think, has been in the top 10 prog albums on Prog Archive for the last 6 months. And we've got It, who some of you may know. They played our very first festival back in 2018. And we've got a band called Warm Rain, who were a very exciting band that, you know, we've not had before. So there's some familiar faces and some not so familiar faces, but overall, I think we've got a very nice, eclectic mix.
Well, it's a fantastic one-day festival lineup. So what's the physical format for anybody who's thinking of going to Stourport Civic Centre?
Right, well, it's running from midday till 9 o'clock. An all day is £30, which I think is an absolute bargain. A streaming option, if you can't make it physically or geographically or economically, there is a streaming option for £10 where you'll be able to stream the whole event for the whole day. But obviously we are very conscious. We had a meeting a couple of days ago about obviously what precautions to put in place. And so there will be, obviously we will prefer people, if they can, to wear masks. We would also prefer people to display or show us proof that they've had two jabs. There'll be a one-way system in the place. The bar has been split into two so that they can serve two people at the same time. And other than that, you know, we're going to put obviously every precaution in place that we can. We are potentially, I did bring this up in the meeting 2 days ago, that we are potentially alienating people who can't have the jab, won't have the jab. But I think at the end of the day, we've got to draw a line. And at this moment in time, I was very much aware of the fact that what the civic told us is if they get two pings, they have to close down and do a deep clean of the place. So obviously it's in, you know, their best interest for us to do everything we can to be safe.
It's a balancing act, Steve, isn't it? I mean, we went to a comedy gig last night, the first time me and Mrs. W had been out for a year. And there were maybe 50, 60 people in this venue. No requirement to show a vaccination thing, or people were sort of masked coming in, but they were at tables, so they were eating and drinking, and sort of no masking and everything. But it was civilized. People the distance as best they could, and if they got up and went to the toilet, they put a mask on. It was all table service as well. So
yeah,
but it's really difficult, and I hope as many people as can possibly attend do so. What's the capacity going to be?
Right. The total capacity is 250 seated. It will be seated, and there's plenty of provision for people less able. As anybody who's been to one of our events before will know, there's plenty of access for people in wheelchairs and so on. So there's no problem in that respect. There's very ample parking. Certainly no shortage of parking. And obviously, because it's a one-day event, unless you intend to stay the night, there's no real need to look for accommodation, you know.
I would point out from past experience of Fusion Festivals that it's the best food I've ever had at a festival, BTW.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Well, the venue have now got their own caterer, so they'll be doing, you know, standard fare, you know, burgers, chips, that kind of thing. But we're also taking on someone to do pizzas, also someone to do Indian. There is, if you go on the Gig Juice website, there is an option when you buy it to actually pre-book your food. And what you will get is a £5 voucher. Now, if you buy anything from within the venue, that voucher will cover it, no problem at all. But if you decide to use that voucher outside at one of the other two stores, the Indian or the pizza, then obviously you'll get a £5 credit off of that.
If it's the same pizza person you had as when I went down, then I have to say to anybody thinking of attending, it's marvellous.
Yeah, he actually sold out of dough.
I remember. It was the nicest pizza I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and the virtual, it's a tenner, isn't it?
Yes. And for that,
you get 9 hours of music.
And then what we're going to do, because obviously we're allowing a certain amount of time for swap overs, and what we'll be doing is running some of the videos that we've used in our virtual events, and also interviews with the bands as well. We'll be throwing in some video interviews with the bands that we'll do on the day. So you won't have like a band and then a break. It'll be a full 9 hours entertainment. That's the intention.
That's fantastic. And that's a fabulous segue, because I was going to talk about your YouTube channel. That's Stephen Lou's World of Prog, innit?
That's right. Yeah.
All the virtual festivals are up on that.
Yeah, what it was last year, with obviously bands not able to tour, I just felt I needed to put something in place to give them an outlet. And also people who were stuck indoors because of lockdown and so on, it gave them some entertainment. And at the same time, raise money for charity. And we picked two charities who I felt were very deserving, especially at this time, is Mind and Samaritans. And so far we've done four. And out of the four we've done, three, we've actually contributed to both those charities. And I think we've raised around £1,000 for each one. And one of the events, we actually donated money to the Civic, the venue where we hold the festivals, because they are charity run and they'd had no money from the government. So obviously they were trying to stay alive, to stay afloat. So I felt that one of the events we actually donated, I think it was about £700 to the Civic as well. And what was really nice was I noticed that a lot of the bands that played that particular one were donating to the venue as well, which totally blew me away.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, these are, for anybody who's not seen them, these are professional productions with proper production values, and the bands put an awful lot of time and effort in crafting the best looking, the best sounding little video pack that they can possibly do. You've had exclusives on there and all sorts, haven't you?
That's right, yeah. They all run it around 3 hours. I think some have gone over considerably. I think they're all between 3 and 4 hours, and it's a good solid entertainment. You know, we didn't charge people for watching it, but what we did ask was for people to make voluntary donations to one or both of the charities.
I mean, this is why, Steve. I mean, nobody goes into progressive rock, be it promotion or reviewing or radio or anything. We don't do it become rich beyond dreams of avarice, do we? But
no, definitely not.
But that's why you're on Prog Magazine's list of unsung heroes, because you've put quality festivals on, you've done virtual events, you've raised thousands for charity. And it's fair to say you're not snorting up cane out of hookers' navels and sitting on a gold toilet, are you, lad?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I mean, the only reason I could put the first two festivals on was that when my dad passed away, bless him, he did leave me some money. And I can't deny that it did cost me money, you know, that we certainly didn't make any money at that. But I don't consider it a loss, because I know for a fact that so many people got a great deal out of the last one in 2019. And in many respects, as we were talking earlier, Brian, it was quite a memorable weekend, you know, in that we had the legendary England play for us on the Saturday night. And that was, you know, you would have had to have been there type of evening, you know. And I was quite pleased, because they only got together just for that one gig, and I was a bit concerned that they might get the bug again and start doing a tour, but they were good to their word and they only did that one gig, so it was very much a I was there type moment.
One of the finest concerts I've ever been to in 50 years of
it was amazing
existence on this planet.
Yeah, I was dead chuffed with that.
Wonderful. The big festival, the 3-dayer, that's 2022 now, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
3.5 it's called.
Yeah, well, the last year's was going to be Fusion 3. This year's was going to be Fusion 4. But after we had cancelled last year's, I originally called this year's 3.5, because I thought, well, you can't really call it Fusion 3 because it's not the third one, even though it is, because the third one got cancelled. And we can't call it the fourth one because we haven't had the third one. So I thought, if I call it 3.5, you know, it'll be somewhere in the middle. And then obviously, because we had to cancel it, I thought, well, I'll just carry it over to 2022, because it was originally going to be the 5th to the 7th of March this year. And then it, because I'd already made a decision to run it the first, you know, first weekend of March. The only problem is next year, you've got, I think in the space of 6 weeks, you've got two HRH progs and a Winter's End in the space of about 6 weeks.
Well, hopefully that Gig Juice app is going to sort of help, maybe with a bit of coordination between promoters and stuff as well.
I'd like to think so, Bri, because it's got a lot of potential, because the information's out there. The truth is out there, as they say, but we just felt it needed something to coalesce it all, you know, and I think by putting an app in place that basically brings it all together, a focal point, if you like, you know, I just feel it's something that the industry needs, especially at the moment where we're trying to resurrect the live music industry in the UK.
It's got a ton of potential, and I guess like radio shows and podcasts can advertise and stuff. And
absolutely, everything.
Throw
everything.
That into the ring and at yeah. record labels, because I know Eugene of Progressive Gears.
That's right.
It's one of his bands.
That's right.
I think he's a lovely chap, and he's been railing against some of the stranger oddities that have been thrown upon him by Brexit, of which we will not talk.
No, there's too much of that in the media.
There is, but suffice to say, it hasn't helped bands, has it?
No, definitely not.
But the lineup for 3.5 is spectacularly good. I mean, you've got three headliners, all of which, I mean, we were talking before about how much I'd spent on Genesis tickets.
Yeah.
Madness, but you've got Frank Carducci, who's worth probably the cost of admission alone.
That's right.
As our Lazuli and Pure Reason Revolution, I would pay £30 to go and see Pure Reason Revolution.
That's right. Well, again, we felt that was a bit of a coup. And Frank, I did want to have the lineup completely different to the previous one, but I was getting a lot of pressure to invite him back. Because he just, as you know, he just totally blew everybody away at the one in 2019. So I think it was a done deal. And he did a gig at the Robin in the July following, you know, the 20, I think it would have been, I lose track of time, but he did do the Robin. And I was talking to him there and I said, look, I said, we're in the process of putting the lineup together for next year. And I said, we need one more headliner for the Friday. I said, would you be up for it if I asked? It was a no-brainer.
I mean, I'd never seen Frank before, but he's a proper showman, he is.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I think the trouble is, Bri, there's so many bands these days. They just come on stage, they stand there, they play their instruments, which is great. You know, it proves they can play what they've got on the album. But at the end of the day, if you just want to hear the album exactly as it was, note for note, you know, you might as well just close your eyes and sit at home and listen to the CD. You know, I think at the end of the day, you go to a gig to be entertained. You know, it needs to be a memorable experience rather than just see musicians standing on stage playing their instruments.
Absolutely.
You know, you might as well just put a camera in the studio, you know.
Well, yeah. So that's Frank on Friday, and then Saturday night headliner, you've got Lazuli.
Lazuli, yeah.
Nellie Pitts told me how to pronounce it the other day. She was on a pod I did last week. I've forgotten already. She told me, but...
It's Lazuli.
Lazuli. Lazuli.
Yeah.
I'll forget.
I used to call him Lazuli.
So did I, but I got told off.
Yeah, Lazuli, and then obviously on the Sunday we've got Pure Reason Revolution. I was so excited to get them guys.
I remember them from back in the day when Danny Mayo was their media and PR chap back in the day. So I ended up seeing them all over. I went to a Wicked Men's Club in Leeds to see them. When I lived in Bradford, I came over to see them in the old Fibbers here in York.
Yeah.
They were at Summer's End. Amazing, amazing band.
Was that the one at the Robin?
Saw them at the Robin, yeah. The Summer's End when it was at the Robin back in the day.
They'd only got the one album out then, hadn't they? The Dark Third.
It was early on in their career, yes.
Yeah, and there was about seven of them on stage, if I remember.
Yeah. But no, that's it. So that's a massive coup. That's up there almost with England. Not quite.
Oh, yeah.
Not quite, because of the historical significance, but Pure Reason Revolution are much beloved by the community.
Absolutely. Then, when you think that England hadn't played for, was it something like 35 years?
Yeah, well, they did quite a bit in sort of Japan in the 90s, didn't they? But yeah, it was a massive, massive coup.
Yeah.
And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing that.
No problem at all, Brian. It was an absolute pleasure. I mean, as I said to you earlier when we were talking before we started, you know, I'm looking, if possible, for 2023. You know, it'd be nice to get Greenslade back together, the original lineup.
Well, why not? Dream big.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But you've got bands like Galahad as well, who were an amazing band live, and Comedy of Errors, yes, who were wonderful.
Yeah.
John Hackett, Axiom, Rain, Gandalf's Fist,
yeah,
Far Meadow, Pearl-handled Revolver.
Yeah.
Stuckfish, Algo Rhythm.
Yeah. Well, we've got three bands coming from America. Well, one from Canada called Algorithm, which did one of our virtual festivals. Everybody was totally blown away by them. Again, a young band. I'd like to encourage young bands because we need this new blood. We've got a band called Orpheus 9, and it's their very first time over here. And if you want to check out their album, it's Transcendental Circus. You know, amazing band. And again, another young band called Aeonic Impulse. Again, first time in the UK. We did originally have District 97 lined up for the Friday night, but I think when we had to move it, they couldn't make it, which is why we put Rain in place on the Friday.
Wow. So Orpheus 9 are an American band, you say?
Yeah. As far as I'm aware, they have played one of the virtual festivals that we did. So if you check that out on our YouTube channel, you'll find that. I'm not sure if it was the last one, which was the end of, I think it was the third one they were on.
But if you check it out. Because I'm old and I get confused, I suspect that may well have been brought up to the studio by Mike for one of our American at prog shows that we do monthly.
Yeah.
We did our first in-person one for the first time in 18 months at the other week.
Wow.
So, but I suspect that the name rings a bell, shall we say.
Yeah. Again, very exciting band. They did donate some footage of them. Again, the problem we had was, you know, the fact that the band couldn't get together to rehearse. So they actually put forward a video of them playing live at one of the American prog festivals. I think it was Frostfest. I'm not 100%. But very exciting band. And, we're very honoured to have them play for us. I'm also aiming at bands like Glasshammer at some point to get them over, because they've not played in the UK. I would have liked Spock's Beard, but they're playing HRH prog. And obviously you have to cut your cloth to suit your purse, you know?
Oh, I know. I mean, one of my financial impulses when I retired, and again, after probably one too many glasses of wine, I got Discipline over.
Oh, yeah.
For Summer's End, which I know you're talking about getting Glasshammer over. It won't be cheap to get them over, old blood.
Yeah, I've already spoken to Steve Babb about it.
We looked at possibly Glasshammer for Summer's End when I said to Steve Lamb that I'd put some money up. I didn't quite expect that much, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you, you're the first one to know this, but it was on the cards. We were going to get them over. But Susie Bogdanovich couldn't get the time off.
Good grief. Well, maybe 2024, eh?
2023 or 24, Brian. I'm not bothered either. Will do.
I'm a massive fatalist. I'm very much in the I'll be dead by Tuesday camp. So I've got all on sort of girding my loins. I'm going to a record fair in Scarborough tomorrow if I wake up.
Wow, excellent. I know what you mean. Well, it's going to be broadcast in HD.
I don't look good in HD. Can you get it down to 760p or whatever it is?
Warts and all, it's going to be, I tell you.
Oh, dear.
But now, obviously, the only thing I was concerned about is what the upload speed needed to be. And my guy said it needs to be 7 minimum, 9 ideally, 9 meg. Where I've had a word with the Civic, and apparently they get 16 meg upload. So shouldn't be a problem at all.
Wonderful. I've got a face for radio, Steve.
Haven't we all?
So hopefully, normally on the pod, we'll play like a song at the beginning, at the middle, at the end. But I know we were talking before that because there's like 7 bands or whatever sharing the bill, it's not fair to sort of pick 2 or 3 out. So if technologies work, we will have had a seductive music bed playing underneath the podcast featuring the bands who are going to be playing on the 12th.
Yes.
There's loads of B&Bs and hotels and stuff in Stourport. I always thought Stourport was way down south, but it's in the Midlands, isn't it?
Yeah. The other thing that's useful as well is if anybody's got camping equipment or a caravan or a motorhome, anything like that, there's a really lovely caravan park that I think you can walk along the river because it's on the River Severn. And if you decide to go to this caravan park, it's about a 15-minute walk from the caravan park directly to the venue. And it's very inexpensive, you know, I think like 20 quid a night, you know, that type of thing.
Have they got any statics or out?
I'll have to ask about that. Because obviously next March it will be in the off-season. But in September it'll be coming to the end of this year's season, so I'll have to find out, but I can certainly do that. Yeah,
because I stayed at that Mahusive hotel, the posh one.
Yes.
Which on a lovely summer's evening, it's a beautiful sort of 30-40 minute walk to the venue. Downhill, but when you're pissed, it's an absolute nightmare.
Getting back up again,
it's like a 1-in-2 hill which goes on for about a mile and a half.
That's right. Was it the Manor?
I think so. Yeah, I was absolutely lathered by the time I got home. I got a taxi the next 2 nights.
Yeah, I can imagine. We'll have to get a pony and trap service going next time.
Absolutely. Oh, well, yeah, monetize it, baby. We'll wind up there, I think, Steve. We've touched base on everything that I wanted to cover. So, Fusion, 12th of September, noon till 9.
That's right.
Stourport Civic Centre. It's a lovely venue.
It's fantastic. I'll be honest, when we did our first one, because I made the decision when we were at HRH Prog in 2017. And I was actually looking to do it at Kidderminster Town Hall, which is a beautiful venue. And it's very much like Birmingham Town Hall. You've got the big organ at the back. And back in the 60s, all the big bands played there, like The Who, The Beatles, The Rolling Stones, and so on. So it's a beautiful venue. But I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was in a band, and he said, it's a bit of a pisser for loading and offloading. He said, have you tried the Civic in Stourport? Well, we've lived here since 2002, and I didn't even know where the fucking place was, to be honest.
Well, it's tucked away, isn't it? I know I met a few lads who were local, and they took me to a couple of top pubs nearby afterwards.
Yeah.
With some really nice sort of proper real ale pubs and stuff nearby.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, one of the pubs has just had thousands of pounds spent on it. And the pub that's just over the road, it's about 100 yards down the road, the Hope and Anchor, they've actually changed that into an Indian as well. So you can go in and have a pint and an Indian. It's called Argy Bargy.
It's very posh as well. You've got the canal down there and everything. It's beautiful.
It is a lovely area.
Beautiful.
It is a lovely area. And you've got the river, like, literally just down the road.
I shall move heaven and earth to try and get there, matey. If I can, I can. If for whatever reason, Mrs. W has got something already in the diary.
Fantastic.
I'll bring all me knobs and sliders with me as well.
Yeah, fantastic. We'll get you set up.
Fantastic. So we'll do a bit of podding. I bought all this kit anticipating doing like interviews live from festivals, because I'm going to try and get to Danfest. I know that that much is on the cards.
Yeah.
Because I haven't missed a Danfest yet, so I want to get a stamp in the book. I think he's on 10 or 11 now, is Danny?
I believe so, yeah. I believe so.
So I think you'll be sort of touching 10 in about 2030, won't you?
Oh, I would hope so, yeah. We've got a bit of catching up to do. And on that wonderful positive note.
That's the dour northerner. but yes, so hopefully you're going to listen to some marvellous musical playing out now from one of the many fine artists who are going to be playing at Fusion on the 12th of September. All that remains for me to do is thank Steve Gould for joining us in the attic. Thank you ever so much, my friend.
You're very, very welcome, Brian. It's been a total pleasure.
Hope it goes well for you, sir.
Thank you very much for all your support and love.
See you again soon, old pal. Ta-ta. Okay.
Take care, Brian.
See you later, man. Thanks to Steve there for joining us in the attic for this edition of the podcast. Do try and get yourself to the festival if you can. On the 12th of September, we're going to play out with Rain and Dandelion. See you again soon for the next edition of the From the Attic podcast. Ta-ta. Love ya.
Listening to the From the Attic podcast in an attic can break the space-time continuum and may also cause night terrors.